Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Can't see in the dark.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber, trying to stabilize after Monday's 4% bear market drop. Got some support here from Oracle's quarter and core PPI, the lowest annual gain of the year. Oil is near 123. Our roadmap begins with Wall Street's woes. Investors closely monitoring inflation headwinds, recession risk, and watching the tea leaves from the Fed.
Plus, take a look at shares of Oracle, or we will, because they are surging ahead of the open. The company's seeing strong demand for its cloud software. And, of course, keeping an eye on that continued plunge in Bitcoin, cryptocurrency hitting a low below 21,000 overnight, now 68% off its highs for the year.
Let's begin with the markets after yesterday's brutal sell-off. Jim, PPI is not the most important print in the world,
no.
But 8.3 is a heck of a lot better than 9.6 in March.
Yeah, but these are just awful. And it keeps the heat on the Fed to do something. I think that, look, I'm going to do a piece tonight about the Fed. It's just that we blame them for everything. And certainly they're blamable for some things. But I spoke to my friend Dave Tepper last night, and he just said, listen, remind me, Jim. He taught me a lot that I know. He said, Jim, I just got to remind you once again, this is not yet the time to make money. This is time to not lose money. And I like Dave. Listen, of course, I listen to my other teacher, Cooperman, and he's pretty negative. I don't want to, I mean, Tepper is just basically saying, look, there's no reason to be a hero. I come back, and Lee obviously is pretty negative. I come back and say, listen, we're incredibly oversold. Historically, this is a pretty good time to buy. The dip buyers seem to have been completely blown out. David recognizes that. But he kind of sees the world in the chaotic moment where you can just kind of just riff on anything not being great. I think, David, the Bitcoin fiasco stops today as these people come on and talk about how great it is. It's a storeholder value.
What do you mean, Novogratz, for example?
Yeah, I mean, and they always mention blockchain. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm tired of that. Blockchain.
Blockchain, the underlying technology, is not going anywhere.
The technology's fine.
Yeah.
It's the direction. The direction is more.
But what do you think the impact of this, of the losses in crypto are going to be? Because there are many retail investors who own crypto. Many.
And well, they're being blown out, just like in 2000. And like, goodbye. Like Robin Hood, goodbye. And we tried so hard to have it not be goodbye. We hit the SPACs every day, Carl. We talked about how you can't be levered. We talked about how you can't be in the joke stocks. A lot of people did not listen. The younger people, the amount of money that's going down, like in the Robin Hoods. Bye.
Well, this blog post from Brian Armstrong over at Coin is pretty interesting. We appear to be going into recession, which could lead to an extended crypto winter. As hard as we try to get this right, it's clear that we overhired, and they're going to let go of 18% of the team.
Well, once they rescinded the offers, you knew they were in trouble, because who would ever leave the company again to go to a place where they rescinded the offers? This is another one, David. Now, everyone always says they think these people are geniuses.
Which people?
The Coinbase people.
Okay.
Brian Armstrong.
Yep.
Genius.
Okay.
Is this genius? Do you call it genius?
Do I call what? A stock price that's down 80% genius? Or are you saying that I'm sure he's a very capable, smart guy.
Well, that doesn't matter.
I don't really know him well. I think I've met him once.
Okay, what, do you have bad inning?
Well, one bad inning can
he's not making a playoffs this year. I mean, look, I'm just saying that we always, like, you know, Tom Farley comes, I have great respect for this. I have great respect for that. You know what they really say when they're not with, when they're off TV? Man, he's choking. That's what we have to do. We have to tell the truth. When you fire 18% of your people, when you rescind your offer, David, that is suboptimal and ill-advised.
Okay. I mean, I'm trying to think through this. I mean, he may be responding to current business conditions
to try
to actually make sure that he's still got a business by laying people off.
That
may not be ill-advised.
Well, I'm just saying that there's a lot of people got in these coins, like the Dogecoin since Saturday Night Live, down 95%.
Yeah.
And they thought they could trade them and make a lot of money and maybe even leave.
There was a great deal of speculative excess in this set.
At one point, I was getting 8% of on my Bitcoin.
Right. We've all wondered about these business models that were based simply on paying these incredibly high deposit rates and what that was all about.
This exists because the government chose not to. The government chose to look the other way, Carl.
But it doesn't mean that digital currencies are not going to live on as a significant factor in our economy.
No, of course, they can bounce, too. I'm just saying
No, but I mean, you know, we had an incredible amount of excess and speculation in the late 90s. We sat there every single day, Mark, Joe, and I, talking about the absurdity of it all. Didn't stop until it finally did.
But when it stopped,
there were many business models that were funded that never should have had a chance at all. They all folded. But at the end of the day, there also were great businesses that came out of that. And it's not like the internet wasn't a real thing.
Alphabet.
It was the biggest thing.
Right. Alphabet came out of it. Amazon.
Later, right? Amazon came out during that period.
Right.
There were others. There were others.
No. Okay, there
Facebook
we are.
Facebook came after that.
Yeah, there were others. Okay.
Oh, come on. There were plenty of companies that are still around.
I'm just saying that last night I went home and I said, I hope after I sold the last bit of my Bitcoin that the money will come back to me, that they'll wire the money to me. Now, see, if I have money with J.P. Morgan, I'm not as frightful about them wiring the money to me. But J.P. Morgan was offering me no money, no interest. David, I was getting interest galore, but I just want the money back now.
I know, but you pointed it out all the time because you wondered about it, and yet you still left your money there.
I sold everything to buy that farm except for a little piece to keep track of it.
Fine. So you're not going to see that money again?
I haven't. David, if I don't see that money again, then you're going to hear the firm's name that didn't send me the money. And that, talk about suboptimal. If they don't send me the money, I think that could be a clarion call.
Yeah. We're rooting for you, Jim.
Yeah, thank you.
As for things that might provide some support to Bitcoin or actually help it explode higher, Mike Novogratz talked about the tie between the cryptocurrency and the Fed. Here's what he said on Squawk.
Bitcoin will lead the markets back out of this Fed tightening. The moment the Fed flinches, the moment, you know, Powell pauses because the economy is really starting to roll over, you're going to see Bitcoin explode north.
So that's interesting. I mean, is it a function of rates, or others argue it's a function of money growth, which we don't expect to explode higher anytime soon?
Well, I think this is part of what people are mad about Jay Powell. I mean, Jay Powell created a bubble, a lot of bubbles, and this one he created. No one did anything about it. It wasn't like he came on TV and said, look, I think people are borrowing too much. He never said anything. And Gary Gensler came on Mad Money, the chairman of the SEC, and said, Jim, you shouldn't be earning those prices.
Gary Gensler came on and said a lot of things, but the SEC takes a very long time to actually do anything.
Yes. No, look,
we're still waiting, and obviously.
Well, no, I am still waiting for the money.
Is this all we're going to hear about now? The money? Carl, it's going to be funny when we find out it's
$37. No, Exxon. We have a special on Exxon, June 22nd. They made more money than God. Did you know that?
Well, that's okay.
I never equated God with money, but the president
did. It was only $23 billion last year. It wasn't that much. Apple made a lot more each quarter than they did. So,
what did God bat last year?
Not as... I don't know.
Sluggy percentage. Well, and we know
didn't hit as many homers as Pete Alonso.
We know that Exxon.
I'll tell you that much.
Was God long crypto? I mean, how did the president evoke God? I thought it was like, God. You know.
He was in the moment being casual.
Oh, in the moment. Okay.
Yes.
Let's leave that out.
You're very critical.
Well, actually,
I am critical.
You are fractious.
And I'm unruly.
Yes.
Energy's interesting now that we know the president is going to Saudi Arabia in July.
Well, he can speak to them. He can't speak to Exxon, but boy, the sheiks, dynamite. One of the journalists was murdered over there.
That's why the president has called the country a pariah. At the same time, Jim, OPEC says they see considerable risk for oil demand growth to revert to pre-pandemic levels. So do we think this is going to result in output hikes or not? Daniel Yergin yesterday suggested maybe it will.
Look, I think that as long as that war goes on, Ukraine-Russia, we're going to have famine and we're going to have higher oil prices. And both are real bad. The famine's going to be quite worse, but it's in countries that we may not see because they provided a lot of food to Africa. But the Russians get away with it. I don't know how the Chinese don't turn on them, India. But those are the countries that have to turn on Russia. I think in the meantime, the Western nations are funding the war.
Russian oil output is 5% higher this month than it was last month.
40% of their net.
Europe not buying nearly as much because, as you point out, China and India are. They filled the gap and more.
Well, what do you think
and
about
at these
that?
Kind of prices, it's fueling their ability to continue this war.
Well, that's so that, you know, and now you're starting to see that the numbers they have, if you go from 100 people, soldiers dying a day to 200 soldiers dying a day for Ukraine, they don't have the horses.
Do you ever think about walking into the office one day and hearing that Putin is gone? However he may be gone? And cool. is there a way to hedge for that?
I waited for Stalin. I waited for Mao. Those guys died in their beds.
It'd be a great day. Oil would go down a lot.
It would be a great day.
Yeah.
Wait, oil, is that what you're thinking
about? No, it would be a great day, period.
For the world.
Thank you.
I was giving you, and that was
oil
just me.
Would also
that,
go down
that was
a lot.
Just me trying to create some needless controversy. I know that you think of that you're humanitarian.
Thank you.
Yes, I do think, but I also know that he seems to surround himself with some sort of Praetorian guard. And so far, it just doesn't look like that anyone's been able to lay a glove on the guy.
But does it make, I mean, Cooperman talking about a recession, Coinbase talking about a recession, James Gorman talking about a recession.
Well, we've talked
as Gorman said, nobody knows what the picture is going to be like in matter of months.
We have talked ourselves into recession. I mean, the consumer is so strong, but we just have decided that consumer's balance sheet doesn't matter. The corporate balance sheet doesn't matter. What matters is the Fed was stupid. I mean, that's what the year. I mean, again, I'm trying to talk about the way they talk, not on TV. On TV, everybody's a diplomat. I mean, on TV, everyone's, so yeah. I mean, in real life, they're saying, well, what a knucklehead Powell was. He screwed up.
Well, and also
I
the administration, the Journal Today did a long story about fighting the last war, having the same policies that they did in terms of the financial crisis, which this was a very different set of economic circumstances and how that exacerbated inflation in a way that hadn't been anticipated. All right, that's where we are.
Well, okay, so look, let's
the question
let's
is where we're going.
I'm defending Jay here for a second. Okay, so there's a country with 1.4 billion, and they have an iron hand dictator. Until this most recent outbreak, I think many Americans decided China passed us, both in intellect and in firepower, okay? And now suddenly they are not paying any attention to what any scientist is saying. They're trying to stop an illness that is not stoppable because we have no natural immunity to it. And no, so suddenly, we no longer respect the Chinese. I mean, I just see everything's a little upside down here. I think that the Chinese could easily say, "Okay, we're going to talk to Pfizer." That not that they watch the show, and we're done. And that's the one that I think is just great. That would be great because then we would have enough. There would be a settlement of the supply chain that would make it so that Jay has a shot.
You see that as more likely than, say, peace talks in Kyiv.
Yes. I really think that Chinese said we can do it this way. I think back in November when everyone decided that he was a complete moron knucklehead and didn't know anything and never even went to wherever, kindergarten, it was because people felt that how did he not know that Omicron was going to be fine? Well, you know what? The Chinese disease, according to President Trump, they didn't realize. They thought that Omicron was going to be really bad.
Well, and the credibility of their leader is at stake, and they're sticking with zero COVID, and therefore that opening has not really happened in the way that perhaps had been hoped for.
But that's the one that's the wild card.
Beijing and Shanghai, with all the testing requirements, people having to take an hour off of work virtually every day to get tested. At some point, I'd love to get back to the stock market. I feel like you don't want to talk about it.
I've been up all night talking about the stock market to myself.
To yourself?
Yeah. And myself has agreed that Dave Tepper's right.
Even Lisa went into the next room?
What? No, she decided not to stay with me.
Tell me more about what Tepper had to say.
Just
I feel
said,
like I didn't get
Jim,
enough.
You're not, you know, you're being too bullish by even saying anything that's bullish. You know, remember the teachings.
Really?
This is not the time.
The teachings? What is he, Yoda?
You've insulted me enough in this first block that I'm ready. Just a sec.
Dave, I've insulted
just a sec.
You?
The wire will be processed today. We actually requested the money after... It's supposed to be at 9. Money is supposed to come at 9.
Not getting your money.
Now it's
You're not getting
now
your
it's
money.
Now
It's stuck. Your money's stuck.
My money's stuck.
We'll spot you.
I'm getting this money back. The world, my life depends on it.
Like John C. McGinley in Wall Street. Here's the C note.
Meanwhile, like all these people, like they come on, Bitcoin's fine because I just want my cash back.
Apple Pay you. Here you go.
Ding, ding.
You're good.
When we come back, this activist push over at FedEx results in some changes to the board and a 53% hike to the dividend. We'll get details. Take a look at the pre-market. We'll get to Oracle. We'll talk 50, 75, 100, and lots of calls today. Best Buy, HPE, Netflix, Tractor Supply, and more when we come back.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX. Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
FedEx shares on the move this morning. Looks like it's going to be up by my count here about $18. We'll give you a look at it in a second as well. Why? Well, they reach a settlement with an activist investor, D.E. Shaw, the giant hedge fund that obviously does a lot more than just activism, but has over the last few years certainly been more active, including in Exxon and Lowe's, a number of other companies along the way. Two new directors added immediately to the company's board, a third to be agreed upon, and I'm told, from what I understand, you know, shortly will be added as well to the board. So three directors. They also increased the dividend. Amy Lane and Jim Vena, by the way, are those. Vena, remember, railroad guy known for operations. Third director shortly in that agreement with D.E. Shaw. They also increased the dividend significantly. $1.15 a share now. That's a 53% increase in the dividend. Second largest dividend increase in the company's history as well. And finally, at least the news we've gotten so far this morning in a press release that was released at 8:30 this morning, they've also changed their executive compensation program to more closely align with total shareholder return and also to sort of measure CapEx to revenue and things of that nature. You know, we talked about this name, guys, in the past. Yeah. I made the point, Jim, some time ago about the possibility of activism at FedEx, in part because its market cap was roughly half that of UPS, while its revenues were similar. And what you would hear from shareholders who are frustrated is, you know, if you get it right, it could be a double, right? I mean, the TNT deal didn't work out well. They're not nearly as profitable as they should be. They spend excessively on planes. Their free cash flow conversion is too low. They try to be all things to all people. This is a step towards trying to change that. By the way, they have a new CEO, only 2 weeks in the job.
Right, although he's from the organization.
Yes, he was president prior to that.
Dave, repeatedly you have said that someone's going to come in because they were spending so much money on planes. Europe did not work at all. Fred retired, okay, Fred Smith. I'll tell you what's good about this situation, David.
Tell me.
There's a note today about Amazon Web Services saying it's a bit low, but they expect a second half strong. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that FedEx, if they figured it out, could be as good as United Parcel was for the holiday season. And United Parcel has since come down a great deal. There's also some labor negotiations coming.
Yes, that could be a real issue for them. At UPS, the labor negotiations as well. By the way, on FedEx, we're going to get earnings fairly soon. At the end of the month, they're going to bring an investor day where we may get additional news, perhaps, you know, some additional things in terms of their focus on operations and what their plans are. Jim, but this is a significant moment for the company.
Very much.
Yeah.
Look, this is a great American company. The transports have been horrendous. This is, you know, Carl, when I look at what's going on out there, there's really not much that's good. But then last night, we got an amazing quarter from Oracle, much better than I thought. You know Safra Katz and Larry Ellison told a really good story. We got this FedEx news. Oil is good. We want oil to come back. It's been a leader. Coinbase was down very badly. Suddenly, Coinbase is up. Things are shaping up. The PPI was not as desperate as we thought. Things are shaping up for a bounce, mostly because I think when I watched Squawk, no one said to buy anything. And that's when you get a bounce.
Well, you tweeted this morning about the New York Times top of the fold. S&P chart is generally what you see at certain moments.
It's so funny. I read the .com now, so I didn't realize until I saw yours that it was top of the fold. Yeah. And when, you know, the one thing, David, we lacked were TV guys, but maybe they don't have any more money to have TV guys.
The satellite truck indicator.
There's no more satellite trucks. It's too expensive.
No, we just Zoom everything.
Yeah, you Zoom everything.
The amount of money we've saved, it's incredible.
Did you see we had a Zoom that was a guy like, there was 15 minutes he had to spend the extra money on Zoom?
I know. Did you see Lee Cooperman's shot, though, looked pretty good.
Well, that was Corona.
Everybody was like, where is Snoop Dogg? Look, why isn't he, like, coming
in? It's Modelo that's the hottest. Modelo Especial.
Yeah.
Yes, and then it's Pacifico, and then one
Corona.
That Lee is pushing.
Really? Didn't know
Lee's
that.
Not pushing.
No, he's not.
We will get to Oracle and a little bit more of what Cooperman said. We'll get the Mad Dash countdown to the opening bell in 9 minutes. Don't go away.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Coming on the heels of yesterday's drubbing, that 18-1 down day, so many cross currents today. The Fed meeting begins. We talk some Bitcoin, PPI, even a little bit of corporate news, and we will get to Oracle with futures close to session highs. Opening bell, just a few moments away.
All right, let's get to a mad dash. We've got 2.5 minutes before we get started.
First,
with trading.
That your FedEx news is really, and you did break the story, it's very interesting.
Well,
It's just getting more and more positive as people realize, wait a second, that dividend boost is something to behold. I think it's important because rates have obviously gone up.
Yeah, the dividend boost at FedEx is a very significant one, 53%.
Turning capital.
The second largest, as we said, that they've ever had in the history of the company. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I mentioned that because GM's now below where it came public. Ford is now at the level where I think Ford is very frustrated. Well, Adam Jonas to the rescue. One of our favorite EV ideas right now, internal combustion engine stocks. Typically, that shows you Adam Jonas is saying that Ford and GM maybe are not value traps. And he believes that they're committed to an all EV future long term, but you want to buy them now. I think this is an excellent piece. I think that Ford is ridiculously low. I think that Jim Farley's doing a great job. You can't get, you know, his products. Well, have you tried to get any? You try to get some of his Ford products, it's like impossible. Now, a lot of that is because we haven't solved the puzzle of semiconductors and supply chain. But I mean, Jim Farley is convinced that his stock is just too
cheap.
Jim,
you know, again, to give you credit, listen, you were you loved Ford from the.
And we sold a lot at the high.
From $6.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's reversed.
We sold a lot at the high for the club. If you remember the club.
I don't.
You're not a member of the club.
I'm not a member. No. No.
It's not like it's restricted.
Go to cnbc.com/jointheclub.
Sorry, I know it. Let me do that right now.
All right.
QR code on his head.
Use the QR code.
We sold Ford in the mid-20s, and we went very much to buy it back, but we talk about it, so we can't.
So you had a great trade on Ford. You owned it for a huge move up, and then you actually sold
it. And now we want to buy it back.
And now you want to buy it back.
Yes, we want to buy it back because I think Farley is committed. I think that the product lines are great. I think that there is just a ridiculous belief that if you're not Musk, then you're not smart. Can I just say that Musk is torturing Twitter? Just torturing.
Well, apparently he's going to do it in person, or at least in front of employees, according to
the report. They have a CEO.
Yep.
He's going to tell them, when I don't buy your company, you're all coming to the office every day.
The CEO's a nice man and a good man. All right.
A nice man agrees.
No, I don't mean it negatively. I'm saying he's a real guy. He comes to work. He's trying to do a good job. And he's being hectored to death by Musk, who obviously thinks that he's just like, this is our time. Musk is despised out there because Musk picks on people who are respected.
Despised?
Well, there's a lot of people who feel that he's going too far. Well, but
you did tweet that they revere him out there, right?
Well, they revere him as a business person, but they think that why can't they avoid all these rules that he does?
Sure.
Like, why does Gensler turn a blind, you know, just do a little wrist slap? Because they'd be afraid to go to jail. But they admire him, but they don't understand why they would go to jail and he's got free.
Yeah.
And he can make fun of people all he wants.
There's the open, guys, up 100 points on the big board today. It's PIMCO celebrating the launch of its senior loan active ETF, and at the NASDAQ, it's Dime. Bank Share is doing the honors. Jim, you mentioned Tesla. Jonas at Morgan Stanley today says maybe, even though they're good at pulling it out on production every quarter, maybe move some EBITDA from Q2 to Q3.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. Like, today's Ford Day, not Tesla Day. Tesla, I happen to like Tesla. I just feel like that. The antipathy toward Musk is somewhat jealousy, but somewhat that he's just cruel. He's cruel. But I do like Ford a lot. My travel trust owns it, and I think it's done. I think it's time to make a stand, even if there is a recession. Maybe they'll get the chips they need, because you can't get a Bronco. You can't get a Maverick.
Well, yesterday, Mary Barr said the Cadillac Lyriq EV sold out in 4 hours. Now, who knows how many they can make, right?
Well, I mean, that's like how many the Ford F-150 Lightning is sold out. But they're not making a lot. But Jim thinks they could make 600,000 in a couple years. I think Mary Barr has done a good job, and the stock is just so low. I like Ford because it's got a yield, and Ford has come down a great deal. But these are stocks that Jonas correctly says may not be value traps this time. There's a lot of value traps out there. I don't think it's those.
You mentioned Oracle. Beats on revenue, EPS, margin, guides fiscal 23, currency constant, organic cloud 30+.
This was an amazing conference call and should be talked about more, because it shows you that tech is alive and well. They are just doing so well. And one of the things they've done, it's very interesting to see that Larry Ellison's was the guy really who spoke for Cerner, that acquisition. I think he's taking dead aim at a company called Epic. And a lot of people, when you go to a doctor, they use Epic. He wants to basically rip out Epic and come in. I think he's got a balance sheet. He can do it. This was a very, very positive quarter. David,
wow.
It's a really good call.
No, I mean, the stock is reacting, obviously, strongly to the earnings.
Yeah, they bought back stock. The 22% license revenue is 25%. Infrastructure subscription up 5%. But I was really encouraged. Total revenues, including Cerner, expected to grow 20 to 22%. Ellison is talking about his ERP cloud and how well it's doing. And
were there any comments at all about the future or expectations?
Oh, great. Just saying business is very, very strong.
So why shouldn't this be seen as a bellwether in some way for those who would say, by the way, it's not going to be as bad as you think, and earnings are going to come through, and therefore the multiple, broadly speaking, for some of these great companies has come down too low.
I think that's true. I like that analysis.
Except you're following the teachings of Tepper, and so you're not allowed to talk.
No, it's okay. We can get a bounce here. Tepper did not rule out a bounce. I'm just saying that this Oracle quarter, when you look at the wins that they had, when you realize, I mean, wins in retail, wins in telco, wins in service, wins in financials, it means that there's a lot of business being done. And as much as some people may think that Larry's a bit of a braggadocio, I think that Larry's a billionaire and has worked very hard in his life. And Safra Katz, David, you've often spoken very positively about Safra.
I haven't spoken to Safra in a long time.
No, you've spoken positively.
Yeah, well, she's a very tough lady. They're tough over there, man.
They are tough.
Hurd was a tough guy, too.
Yeah, he was.
They were just tough.
Right. But, you know, look, the market can give it up, but I think Carl Oracle was an excellent.
Yep. Ellison talked about even at the low end, NetSuite doing pretty well. Small businesses, which you think might be more exposed to a pending recession. Here's what Kat said about macro.
Going forward, and despite the macro environment, we continue to expect the revenue growth in our cloud business will accelerate substantially in fiscal year 23.
Now, that said, Deutsche does cut HPE today to hold 16 target, incremental signs of enterprise weakness just in software and semis.
They're just also ran. I've not seen enterprise weakness. I just have not seen. I've seen people frustrated they didn't get any of the chips they want. The consumer is definitely weak. That's the new theme today is enterprise weakness. I'm not getting it. I'm getting a second-rate company like Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. But if you read Oracle, you would not think that there's any enterprise weakness. The number of logos, as they like to say, are just extraordinary. It's just a huge amount of money being spent.
So the HPE downgrade maybe makes as much sense as the Best Buy downgrade?
I thought that was ludicrous. I mean, you get 5% yield. You got a Corey Barish is an absolutely terrific CEO. It is true that the gaming cycle is what a lot of people are worried about. Although when you speak to a lot of the good people in that business, they say, wait a second, we've seen no real sign of a slowdown. Look, there are places that are doing well, and then there are places that are doing poorly, and most of the people don't distinguish among stocks that come on our air. They just don't. And I think that that's a shame because there's a lot of companies, David, that are doing quite well that get wrapped up in this whole, the market's bad.
One area that we know is doing well is energy. And Harold Hamm seems to be pretty positive.
How do you like that? It took you till 9:36 to bring that up.
Well, I wanted to let you, you know, get through a lot of things first. But what we're talking about is Harold Hamm. You know him. You've seen him. Comes on our air. One of the pioneers, right, in terms of fracking and the Bakken. Continental Resources is his company. He owns 83% of it, by the way, but it's not enough. He wants the other 17%.
That's incredible. He's picked a point. And most of us would say he's late.
And he makes an offer to acquire the company for $70 a share. As you would note, the stock is trading above that. Why? Well, it is seen as a somewhat low offer. Let me tell you the premiums here. 9% to yesterday's close, 11% to what they're calling the volume-weighted average price over the last 30 trading days, and what they say is a 21% premium for the full year. But of course, it's moved up a lot because oil has moved up a lot. All of energy's moved up a lot. Multiple overall would seem to be a bit low versus the group, hence you're seeing this reaction. If he really wants it, he's going to have to pay more. They've established a special committee of the board to obviously deal with their largest shareholder. He also made it clear in his letter, by the way, this is not about him selling, not about him at all interested in any way in another alternative or anything else. If the special committee says no, then they're just going to go home and keep their 83%. But that's where we stand. I guess, Jim, Carl, maybe it means he just thinks there's a great future for energy for a while.
I think there is, although natural gas is down limit. Natural gas is down extraordinary, 8.5%. I'm trying to find that out. But look, I think that one of the things about these oil companies is that they generate so much cash that why would you not want the cash yourself? Why do you have to?
By the way, I mean, the stock is up 343% over the last 2 years.
Well, but
64% to date. And Harold now, I mean, you know, remember when he wrote that $1 billion check to his ex-wife? And we thought, ooh, that's a lot. But now he's worth $23 billion himself, $27 billion himself.
No comment.
No comment.
No comment.
Okay. I wasn't asking for one. You thinking about checks you've written?
Those didn't become memes on the internet.
No, if I get the check from my Bit guy, I might be able to write a check. Where's the Bit guy? What's he doing over there?
Oh, my God.
Let me just check again.
All this for $37.
No, I just want the money back there.
I know you do. I know you do.
Show me the money, please.
To your point about NatGas, Jim, Freeport is now eyeing a partial restart in about 90 days.
Oh, great. Yeah, I know. I mean, that's... Yeah. That just shows you how much bad money there is in that gas.
We should point out Freeport, the private company, along with Cheniere, that is the major exporter of LNG from our country.
Right.
Michael Smith has been a guest with us, CEO. They had a big accident.
Back online, big deal.
It's going to take a while, Carl just said.
Well, natural gas should not be, they're not going to export that much. If it's been so hot.
This is the wrong Freeport, guys.
It's been so hot, we're going to our natural gas.
This is copper.
Who do you think is the third largest supply of storage of natural gas?
I do not know.
Ukraine.
Say again?
Ukraine. They built a big storage. So you don't want them cut off. They have a lot of storage space. Don't sweat the program. Oil is not going down a lot.
You don't believe so?
Yeah.
Well, Russian oil is finding a home. It's not as though it's not on the market, so it's satisfying the demand apparently in India and China, who are no longer buying from certain areas. So
I know. It's a fungible product.
Right.
And we don't have the right refiner. Our refining is pathetic.
Our refining capacity is an issue in terms of gasoline.
Will you touch on that at your doc, is on the 22nd?
Not really a lot.
PM?
We do not go into refining.
So, be ready.
This is about bigger.
When you come on my show to promote,
than just the
when you come
price
on Mad Money to promote,
yes.
I would be ready for that question.
Well, I'm not going to talk to you about that.
Carl?
I mean, there is a downstream element I'm sure you get to, right?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. You can't talk about ExxonMobil without talking a bit about downstream. But
you're
going
to go religious on me?
No.
Not talk religion?
No, I'm not going to talk religion the way the president did. But we are going to bring people inside the company. That's part of the documentary, right? This is a company that has been, as I said, for 100 years, perhaps the most relevant company for that long a period
in
the global economy.
Did you interview Chernow?
I did not interview Ron. Who wrote an incredible book about John D. Rockefeller. I did interview Steve Cole, who also wrote a great book on ExxonMobil.
I like Steve very much, but I'd like you to interview...
It's too late now. There's no more interviews to be done.
Jeez. Okay. Wait, do you want to make fun of me for anything else?
You're going to love it. You're going
to
love it.
No, I want you to make fun of me just like you have. Just do a...
What would you like me to make fun of you about?
I have a nice suit. You can't do that.
You look very nice today.
I don't know.
All right, good.
I think you'll come up with something.
And I'll stop.
Certain.
I'll stop.
David Tepper was saying this is not the time yet.
To make money.
It's just the time to not lose money. It's the teachings.
It's the teachings of Tepper.
I learned from Tepper.
There's a time
Tepper one
to
time
make
embarrassed
money.
Me so badly.
And there's a time to avoid losing money. And this is the time to avoid losing money.
What are you, biblical man? Well, yes, God.
Although, Jim, I know you read Symbolist over at J.P. Morgan.
Yeah.
Yesterday had a series of charts looking at prior post-war downturns and arguing that markets recover even when the economy continues to get worse.
Yes. Now, I like that. I like Michael, who, by the way, said to me, Jim, I hope you don't have any money with that bank at the end of the day. There's some really interesting stuff. I mean, there's a guy I follow, Ryan Dietrich. Very good.
Yeah, great technician.
And, he showed us... there's a lot of stocks that have already hit that level. I mean, the home builders. Now, I know when the mortgage rates went to 6. Now, if you go back to the last Toll Brothers call, Doug Yearley was doing, the CEO was saying, listen, 5-6, we're still fine. A lot of people now talk about 7-8. And 7-8.
For a 30-year fixed mortgage?
Yeah. And I just don't see that coming. I don't see that coming. I just don't.
Although
so Wells, look at Toll.
The Wells CFO is on the tape. Mortgage banking income could be down 50% from Q1.
Q1 was horrible.
Do not expect any release of cash reserves. I guess that's pretty obvious.
I think it's very obvious, but I look at Toll. These stocks are selling at 5x earnings, which means you cut the earnings in half. They're selling at 10x earnings, which would mean that they're bottoming. Toll bought a lot of stock. It's still $5 billion market cap. I would argue that their land might be worth that. People hate that group so much. They hate tech. They hate real estate. They like oil. I mean, if you take a look at some of the stocks that we used, you know, FANG, I just don't look at FANG.
What did you make yesterday after the Journal had the story about potential 75 hike tomorrow? J.P. Morgan said that 100 is a, I think they said, non-trivial risk.
Well, look, I want 100, and I want $200 billion in bonds, and I want 100.
You just want to get it over with.
I'm giving Jay the green light. I mean, look at Mount Manna. I mean, like, you know.
What? Look at what?
Manna. It's like FANG.
Oh, Manna. Oh, FANG. Yeah, the old FANG.
Manna from hell.
Right.
Right? It's Manna from hell.
Yes.
Used to be Manna from heaven.
Well, we do get a
Stick
new
with the biblical theme.
But you got a new sell rating on Netflix out of benchmark today.
That's helpful.
Oh yeah, sell. Wasn't that helpful?
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. The Coinbase call from J.P. Morgan. Thank
you. And Deutsche, after the HPE downgrade, they do trim Apple to 175.
Yeah, everyone hates Apple.
What, of the group, what I mean, Alphabet is the one you hear. I think
that's
in terms
the
of being the
one.
Cheapest.
That's the cheapest
and,
one. And 16 times earnings.
And 16 times earnings with a growth rate far above that.
Look, I don't understand
and
it.
And then about is the ad market somehow going to go
and
away?
Waymo's
during
everywhere.
A recession, ads can get cut. They do get cut.
But I think they cut all the second rate places and concentrate all their money toward the ones that bring customers in.
Right.
And Alphabet's number one. I spent a lot of time with Alphabet when I was out there. Their business is very strong.
Okay.
Does anyone care? Does it matter?
Well, it has sold off a bit less than many of the others.
But their business
26%.
Is very strong. You'd buy the stock if you actually did research on it.
So
if you didn't do research on it, you wouldn't buy the stock.
So if you're going to own this thing for a number of years, this is not a bad...
I agree.
I'm not saying that. I'm asking the question.
Yes. It's not a SPAC.
No, it is not a SPAC.
It's a company that makes a huge amount of money. It's
incredible
incredibly well
money,
run.
Incredible
and when
margins.
When Waymo...
A disciplined CFO and Ruth Porat.
Incredible. The best CFO maybe in the country. And Waymo's everywhere. You can't. You know, I was going to jump in front
and
of
AI,
Waymo to see if it stops.
AI that apparently is becoming sentient.
Sentient.
Yes.
Sentient AI. Don't kill me.
Kill the AI.
Look,
that was a weird story.
I saw Jensen Huang say, good job, when a machine picked up a thing Jell-O. Good
we
job.
Should point out there's an engineer at Google who basically claimed that their AI is now.
Former engineer, right?
He's gone. Well, he's suspended.
Yes.
Yeah. Well.
And he said, you can't. What, you can't, I don't know, you have to ask it.
It understands being disconnected.
Yes, and it needs to have the right to defend itself.
Hasta la vista, baby.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we're headed, Terminator.
Skynet goes live.
Skynet.
Yep. By the way, a reminder, you can get in on the CNBC Investing Club with Jim, as we said earlier. Sign up and find out more at CNBC.com or just use the QR code on your screen. Tenuous gains here at the open, but the Dow still holding 50. Some familiar names on the S&P gainer list. You can't see them here, but Oxy's on there, Marathon, Phillips 66. But FedEx at the top on the heels of that 53% div hike. This is going to be close to a 2.5-month high for FDX as the Dow's up 100. Don't go anywhere. Dow barely holding on to some opening gains. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Morning, Bob.
Good morning, Carl. Very indeterminate trading. Small caps are weak. Interest rate sensitive sectors, utilities, REITs also on the weak side. Take a look at the sectors. Energy is strong. We got 123 print on oil. That's the highest level since March. That's helping. Semis rebounding. The semiconductor ETF, SMH, 52-week low yesterday, along with NVIDIA. That's brutal 3 days. It's bouncing. Consumer discretionary all over the place. Initially, travel stocks were up after a tough 3 days. Flattish now. Consumer staples, again, flattish, but a little bit of a downside open for Procter, Coke, Clorox, for example. Transports, Carl mentioned that big hike in the dividend for FedEx. It's now 2.1% dividend yield for FedEx. That's pretty good. All the other ones are bouncing. But FedEx was 198 yesterday after a brutal several days. So that's nice to see that stock bounce. As for where we are, you know, big deal yesterday about the S&P dropping below 20% in the bear market territory, but, you know, join the club. Many of the big other sectors have been there for a long time. The transports have been there for a long time. The NASDAQ 100, the S&P small cap, the S&P mid cap. ARK Innovation, 72% below its 52-week high. So, again, that was a little bit of a late comer for the S&P 500. The sentiment is very extreme out there, particularly interest rate sensitive sectors. I watch relative strength indicators, short-term movements in the markets, RSI. When you're below 30, you are pretty bad here. So REITs, utilities, financials, corporate high-yield bonds, all pretty ugly right now. The sentiment's very extreme in the personal, in the professional investing community. So every month, Bank of America releases their survey of fund managers. These are useful because they're sentiment indicators. And when they're at extremes, they can have very useful indicators of where we're going. And these are very extreme levels here. So, for example, 72% believe that global profits will be weakening. That is the worst level since September 2008. That's the great financial crisis. And it's useful to look at long and shorts and how where they are actually going right now. So relative to the last 10 years, they're long cash, they're long commodities, they're long healthcare, and they're underweighting equities in general, tech, European stocks, and emerging markets. Another useful question to look at is what's called the most crowded trades. And the reason this is important, it's a good indicator when a particular trend is starting to top out. So right now, the most crowded trades are long oil and long commodities. It's 38% here. That replaced long tech many months ago. Long dollar is also very big, and short treasuries is also really big right now. So what's sentiment this crowded, what this implies, Carl, is essentially the long oil trade is starting to top out. And the theory behind most crowded trades is when everybody's in it, that's when it's probably starting to top out. And when you have really extreme levels, so 38% there for long oil and commodities, that's an indication that that trade may be topping out. The bottom line here, Carl, is that this is a very, very different world than it was just a few weeks ago. If you look at the biggest risk to the markets category, the biggest risk are hawkish central banks right now and a global recession and inflation. Look at that. It's all about inflation and hawkish central banks. Some people are worried about a systemic credit event. But remember, the biggest issue a month and a half ago was the Russia-Ukraine conflict. It's number five now. Only 6% cite this as the biggest risk to the market. As I mentioned, Carl, things are very, very different than they were even 6 weeks ago. Carl, back to
you. That's incredible, Bob. Thank you. Bob Pisani. Jim, what's on Mad tonight? Yeah.
And I still think that oil can go higher just because it's a small, too small part of the S&P. It takes a while. I've Indy Semi on tonight. It's a SPAC semi. Does a lot of stuff with auto. But we have to play tough because it is a SPAC. You know, SPACs just have been horrendous, cost people a lot of money.
Most.
Everything that was created in the last 3 years just gaffed people.
We were in a weird period, Jim. Yeah. People at home
I feel bad
begging for economic relief.
They should have just bought, I don't know, Coca-Cola. It's tough. Yeah. Coke and Jack.
Yep.
Jack and Coke.
That's right. We'll get David one of these days.
David, what does this have to do with the price earnings ratio of Bristol Myers?
Not a thing.
Thank you.
Friend.
That's
not
why
a
that
thing.
Stock is doing well.
Yes, it is. The mixed bag, actually, for the pharmaceutical company.
Mixed bag?
Yeah, mixed.
Do you care whether his pants are black
Banks
or blue?
Banks are up. Yeah, I can't figure out whether these are blue or black.
Jim, we'll see you at 6.
Yep,
Mad Money,
you.
6 p.m. Eastern Time. Is the Dow's up 120? 37.67 on this Tuesday. You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.